I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for October 7th, 2019, to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capelini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lutke?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome you all to our City Council meeting. We have several different issues on the agenda tonight that I think are of interest to different groups here tonight. When we get to your item on the agenda, if you would like to speak to council or voice your opinion, please let me know and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. But at this time, I ask all of you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Lutke.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda item 3 is additions to the agenda, and I do have a few things to add. As agenda item 6A, I would like to add an update on the Funnigan's situation. I would like to point out that Exhibit A for agenda item 9 has been distributed to you at your council positions. I would like to add as agenda item 15, Ordinance 86-2019, for the purchase of property. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would simply like to add a report on the Committee of the Whole meeting regarding the logo, please.
We'll make that agenda item 13D. Other members of City Council.
Mr. Mayor.
Capelini.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right. So I'd like to schedule another Parks and Forestry Committee meeting.
All right. We'll make that part of your report on 13C. Schedule a new date as well. Report and schedule.
Perfect. And then I'd like to just make a quick comment about information item C, the Sylvania Area Joint Recreation District.
I thought you would. I've already got it circled and your name in it.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Many members of council had the opportunity to go down and look at the 911 operations along with yourself and Mr. Aller as well. So that was beneficial, but I wanted to schedule a 911 consolidation meeting of the safety committee to discuss it, and I'd like to put that on the agenda.
All right, we'll make that agenda item 13E. To schedule a safety committee meeting for 911 dispatch consolidation. Additional items from members of council. Mr. Lutke.
Mr. Mayor, in light of the length of the agenda, I promise that I will give a 30-second update on the Fall Festival Parade and Sister City's involvement in it.
Any place on the agenda you'd like to add that? Bottom,
that
okay?
The bottom, as far as primarily for members of council.
Okay, that'll be agenda item 16 then. Fall Festival Sister City update. Seeing no additional items from members of City Council. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Snorr?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor of approving the agenda as amended indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The agenda for this evening's meeting is approved. Agenda item 4 is approval of the meeting minutes of September the 16th. Mrs. Westfall, and you have, there's a blank on there you'd like to
ask
about.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Midway through the page on ordinance number 77-2019, we see that Mr. Hanem moved, and we're not clear on who seconded that ordinance. meant to call on that today and did not.
All right. Aside from that, is there a motion to approve?
So I move that we accept the meeting's minutes from the September 16th, 2019 meeting held in the Sylvania City Council.
Subject to that addition.
Subject to the addition. Thank you.
Moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes from the September 16th, 2019 meeting as submitted, subject to adding the name on ordinance 77-2019. As submitted, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the meeting minutes of September 16th are approved. Agenda item 5, we have an introduction by Chief Snorr. As City Council is aware, we have changed our structure, command structure, to include two captains. We have previously advanced Captain Miller, and we have our second captain to introduce and put his badge on tonight, Chief Snorr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, as everyone from Council is aware, over the last several months, we've brought several new officers to City Council. We hired 4 employees this year in the police department, and we're now fully staffed, once again, 33 sworn officers. It's my honor to introduce Captain Doug Hubaker. Doug is from the Northwood Police Department. We recruited him earlier this year after a lengthy search throughout the state of Ohio for a qualified law enforcement administrator. Doug has a master's degree from Sylvania University, also has a bachelor's degree from the University of Toledo, worked in many areas of law enforcement. And here at the Sylvania Police Department, he will be in charge of our special services section, which includes officers that work in the schools, our detective bureau, our special response team, also be in charge of all of our training. And training is one of the most important things that a law enforcement agency can do each year to prepare for all of the different types of incidents and issues that we might face. So I'd like to come up and meet the council members.
Captain Mark Krause, nice to meet you.
Doug, it's always nice to have another Doug.
Okay.
Hi, Captain. It would be appropriate for you to introduce your family members as well.
My better half, Amanda. My son, Zachary. My daughter, Lindsay. This one in the group is my oldest, Alexandria. She's in the high school play, and she had rehearsal tonight, so she couldn't make it. My mom, Linda. And my dad, Paul. In addition to introducing our new captain tonight, I want to start a new tradition, and that would be a badge pinning. And just want to talk for a second about what this badge would signify. I've always seen the badge as the shield that protects the safety of the public from lawlessness and disorder. And as police officers, we are all part of that thin blue line that protects society from, you know, from chaos, if you will. So in addition, it's not only about that, but this badge is a symbol of the shield for the public. Also, part of that is the commitment that a family makes. The hours that we work, the coming in, you know, late at night, the working through the holidays, all those things, surviving some type of traumatic incident, whatever it might be, turn on the television and watch the news, and that those are the types of things that any law enforcement officer could be experiencing, you know, any day of the year, any time of the day. So part of that commitment is the family being involved in that and sharing those experiences for the better and for the worse of the officer's career. So at this time, I'm going to turn this badge over to the family, and they will select someone to pin it on as part of that commitment to the service as a Sylvania Police Officer.
Don't poke him.
I didn't wear my vest today.
Must be a hard business.
He's better with a lacrosse stick than a bag.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council.
Thank you. Officers, thank you all for being here this evening as well.
Thank you, and I look forward to a long service with the city of Sylvania.
Thank you. We got one from here that might be all right.
All right, that takes us up to agenda item 6. We are pleased to welcome to our council chambers Mr. Craig Findlay, the CEO of Venture Visionary Partners. They are opening their new offices there at the northwest corner of Monroe and Wyford. And last council meeting, you approved a job creation grant for them. So welcome. Thank you for your investment in our city.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
All right, we'll move on to added agenda item 6A, Funnigan update. The city has recently been given a copy of the conditional use permit from years ago by the township. We did not have that before, and I'd like to have the law director tell city council about that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With Mr. Malone's help, I was able to get a copy of the conditional use permit. And from that conditional use permit, it is clear that the township imposed the condition that the paintballs, all of them, be contained on the property, and that clearly has not been happening. So I met with our zoning inspector last week, and he is going to be mailing out a notice of the zoning violation tomorrow. To require them to install the netting that they promised to install and was required by the township for them to install. So that process will be started tomorrow, and then we can move forward with proceeding through the court and filing zoning violations against them.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this puts a different complexion on this complaint. It's no longer an interpretation of zoning code. It's a failure to live up to the conditions of the use of the property, which is far more straightforward.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor.
So we will be pursuing that aggressively. We have put a call into Judge Yarbrough to let him know, who is doing mediation on this, to let him know that we've got that and get his blessing on how we can proceed from this point. I know there's some residents sitting front and center here.
Leslie, before we do that, could you just review what the process is from here?
Oh, sure. So Mr. Burns will be sending out the notice, certified mail. So once they receive it, we aren't giving them any deadline. Once they are to put the netting up, they've known for 10 years they need to do it. We're not giving them any additional time to do it. If they do not, then they need to cease their outdoor paintball activities. And then that becomes a little bit of a burden on Mr. Burns. He will go out every day, take pictures, file a report, and then we'll just keep filing charges through the municipal court process. And then they will be served through the court and be required to appear in court and face the fines and penalties that the judge may impose.
So if they don't respond within the, if next week they're still conducting their paintball activities, mm-hmm. what would be the, you know, where would that be? Would that be the municipal court at that point?
Or? We could seek a temporary restraining order. We could, I could reach out to, I know who their attorney is, so we could have a hearing and pursue it that way if they don't comply, if they still aren't in compliance.
Ms. Briding,
yes.
Does it mean when you say once they sign the certified letter, then they're aware
yes.
that they can no longer
That's
do
correct.
That unless the netting up, and the netting won't be up, so they need to cease
That's
immediately.
Correct. That's correct.
Thank you.
Yep.
And Leslie, the
yes.
action that we're taking, is that civil or criminal?
The zoning violations are criminal. That's part of our criminal code and the penalties through which the temporary restraining order would be a civil action.
So both?
Correct. Right. Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie, just one last question.
Yes.
Because it's my nature to try to think of the holes, as you well know, in an argument. What happens if they don't sign? How do we know that they're going to get the notice? Because somebody can dodge the notice, correct?
That's true. That is correct. But I do know who their attorney is, and
so by serving her,
right?
That's service to them, legally.
Not legally, but. If they raise that as an issue, it would be, you know, we will have to, if they try to start dodging service, then we can personally serve them.
Got it. Okay.
And you serve it the same way you serve a standard complaint in
Correct.
The court? So we could secure personal service,
mm-hmm.
for example?
Can we hear you?
Come on up if you like.
I'm Paul Hamilton from the Village of Palisades. I've been here several times. We did bring a large contingent with us tonight to show that this is not just the four members that keep showing up in the meetings. We've got 14 experts. I just want to say that because of the lack of progress at our own expense, we hired legal help. The legal help is who finally determined this should have been done in 2008. We feel strong enough about the evidence that he found that they should be their operations should be immediately suspended until they are brought into until they are violation free, until they have met the problems of the ordinance. That's the good way to feel.
The document is very eye opening.
Mm-hmm.
It says that no paintball shall escape
right.
the property, and they assigned it, agreed to it. It's part of the use of the property. It was not forthcoming before. It might explain some of their tactics from before. There's no vagueness in it at all.
And the thousands of dollars that we've already spent of our own money to investigate this, we really feel that this should be immediately suspended.
We will take what legal steps we are allowed to take, but I am in agreement. Thank you. Thank you all for coming tonight. I don't know whether any more of you would like to speak. That seemed to say it all right there. We will take action. You're welcome to come up. You need to come up and state your name if you want to address council. Okay.
My name is Jim Carr. I'm also one of the trustees of the Palisades Homeowners. Just as a point of information, we filed another police report yesterday.
All right. I read them every week.
Yes. So we filed a police report. We have been filing police reports since 2015. they have been in violation of these zoning regulations since about 2008. That number may be a little bit off, but roughly since 2008. My understanding is that when we filed a police report, the relevant statutes are investigated and penalties are enforced or applied to whatever extent. We have been filing police reports, at least I've been there since 2015. We filed them with the township, we filed them with the city, and nothing has happened. These laws have been on the books since 2008. Those same zoning regulations have been there since 2008. We didn't just discover them, they've been there. We just found out exactly what they were at, as Mr. Hamill said, at our own expense. So we paid money to find out what the laws were and to get them enforced. And somehow that just doesn't feel right.
In response, this property with Funnigan's was annexed from the township last December. We did not receive from the township or from you the agreement that we had, and we've been pursuing our best avenues, and including having a judge mediate a proper settlement. So we now, with this new conditional use permit in our hands, we can take stronger action and will.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Just ask, I think what we've heard here is that if we don't get a favorable response from their counsel, that this is going to stop now. I think pursuing a TRO early would be entirely appropriate and warranted. And you know, this problem should be over. And we need to be aggressive in pursuing our civil court order.
The owner was obviously in possession of this and did not share it or bring it forward. And we appreciate the Homeowners Association pursuing it and bringing it forward to us. So that's a big development. We're going to work on it. With that, I'm going to move on in the agenda to agenda item 7. This is an annual resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor. Mrs. Booker, is there any change in the rates or the numbers? Or Toby? Okay, sorry. I know that she does the paperwork for us. She's closer. All right. So this, we need to pass this. We do this every year. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 12-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that resolution number 12-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 12-2019.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 12-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 12-2019 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 8. This is a resolution that we file following every annexation petition that is filed. We have passed the period of time where statements and objections can be filed with the county or names removed from the petition. Prior to the annexation hearing, I believe it's on October 25th, 29th, we need to pass a statement of what services will be provided to the annexed areas. That's what we have in front of us, Resolution 13-2019. Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. All members of council having received copies, I will read by title only. Resolution number 13-2009, adopting a statement pursuant to revised code of Ohio 709.03D, indicating what services will be provided to the area proposed to be annexed to the city of Sylvania by petition for annexation filed with the Board of Lucas County Commissioners, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It is moved and seconded that resolution number 13-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 13-2019 as an emergency measure.
Is moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 13-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 13-2019 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 9. You have proposed ordinance 83-2019. This would grant a license to Yee Properties to enter into a portion of city-owned right-of-way at the southeast corner of Main and Maplewood to install and maintain a patio. The city has recently granted a similar license across catty corner across the intersection to the Inside the Five group for the installation of their outside patio. This one, you have been shared a drawing showing what is proposed, and that's a wide sidewalk area there north of the existing building. Kevin, I don't know whether you want to present this or perhaps somebody out there would like to present this, perhaps. Okay, the owner's coming up. Welcome. It's appropriate for you to come up and ask for it.
My name is Nick Dallas, and yeah, I can bring all the information in front of you. If you had any questions about it, just go ahead.
I think it would be appropriate to describe to City Council the seasonal maintenance of this facility.
Sure. So tables and chairs on the diagram would be stored away. the standing bar tables along the side of the road to be bolted in and permanent. Of course, all of these could come out. I mean, just going to do the bolts, but then, you know, we'd like to leave these also the planters as well. The rest would be stored away.
Mr. Aller, are you in agreement with that? Are you concerned with the items right on the curb line, which are mostly air? But we'll have snow plowed against them, no doubt about it.
Yeah, we will have snow that will go up to them, but I think because of the open nature of them, I think we'll be okay. That will be something that we'll have to just keep an eye on during that first winter season and see how it works and work with Mr. Dallas to either remove them or maybe remove tabletops or something of that nature. So, I'm not anticipating any problem.
Okay, the hatched area walking through here, the 5-foot walking space, that was something that you worked with the owner on to maintain public access through the site. And it was your recommendation that it not necessarily be at the curb line, that it be back in. Maybe you need to talk about that decision a little bit.
Sure. We had initially, if you remember or have been over to Inside the 5, you know, as part of their requirements, part of some of the restrictions with the liquor license laws in Ohio, they had to have the patio up, basically had to be connected to the building and everything enclosed. We had actually initially talked to them about the potential of moving that area to the curb line and keeping the walking area back along the building. That's what gets done in some other places. If you've been up to Ann Arbor, that's primarily where I've seen it. They put the patios and that sort of thing up against the curb line and keep the pedestrian traffic off of the street area. We talked with Mr. Dallas, you know, about that same thing, and because of the large area that they have there, it's difficult to keep to put everything up against the curb line, then it's difficult to maintain some sort of walk area with the stairs and everything there. So we've kind of, or they've kind of mixed it, proposed a mix of that, and put, you know, a lot of their seating area up against the building, but still maintaining some area along that curb line where people could just stand and talk and drink or eat or what have you with our, you know, with our door that we have in that area. We've maintained a minimum of a 5-foot walking area there, and that's the minimum walking space. There's more space in there because of the way the tabletops, you know, the way they set in there and their width. But if you have somebody standing at those tables, then they're going to take up a couple feet of room as well. So I think this will work. I think on a, you know, on a I'll call it normal evening, weekend evening, I think it will be just fine. I know some of you have been at the like the Friday art walks and that kind of stuff, where that section of the street is closed. That area is always congested. It's already congested. So the addition of this that they're asking for doesn't change that. It doesn't add any additional problems. So I think it's, you know, they've worked with us in trying to come up with an acceptable design. This is, to us, it would be acceptable, and we recommend approval.
How high are the string lights? Just curious.
Well, we are, I don't know, 8 feet where they would start, but from there, it would go much higher once they reach the building.
Okay.
So we're not sure about how the building is.
This is the word. This is me.
So it's a very cool, this will be a very cool space.
When are you going to do it?
You know, right after this, if this is approved, I will start ordering. Possible. I don't know if it's very a good idea to try to get it rolled out this year. It still might not work with all the shipping. Can give a shot, see if you have a couple weeks.
And Ray, I need you to put this in perspective for the parklets that were planned for the downtown. This is not a parklet.
Correct. So this whole project will be organized with the Downtown Pennsylvania Association, and J&G's Upside Growing has graciously sponsored this project. So this would be a community patio, kind of like a door up area or any public space. It will not be connected and accessible from J&G's store. So it's open to all. They are sponsoring it, and we are planning on still rolling out the 2 parklets in the spring of 2020. So you should be hearing from us soon. We're working on those on Main Street, so they'll be built into the parking spaces. So different than this build-out, like the physical space, but similar gathering area.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just add, I think Mr. Richardson remembers this as well, but when we were conducting meetings of the DORA committee last spring, I think there was some initial conversation about this being a possibility, and the members of that committee universally felt that this would be an enhancement to the downtown DORA. So I'm happy to see that it's finally happening. I think the general feeling is that any place that you can provide for people to sit and congregate as opposed to wander around would be very positive for the downtown.
Also, if I may add something, I don't know about the process of this, but getting the planters into the city's agenda as far as maybe stuff like the barrels that inside the county is something I would like to recommend.
Kevin, do you have any input on that?
No, we've talked with the Inside the Five with the changes. They have kind of the barrels. We've talked with the upcoming parklets, and as part of our talks with this one, we don't have an issue with incorporating those into that way. We have some continuity.
All right.
Some consistency. So.
Mr. Mayor, as the representative for on the DSA board, I just wanted to thank you Nick for the investment in the community, and the Downtown Savannah Association spearheading the project and working with the administrative staff to put this together. So we certainly appreciate, it's another investment that your company and your organization and family are making into our town, and we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Any additional comments or questions from members of City Council? I have to ask you, Chief, any update on the DORA downtown? Any issues, any problems?
No issues so far.
I don't read about it in the police reports weekly. I don't read about it at all. I've read about it in Perrysburg. Not police reports, but the politics going on down there. So I'm glad ours is working out and everyone's in agreement, and it's nice to see it growing. That's a wide sidewalk. It's pretty bleak at times, and this will be a great improvement going into that area. So thank you very much. We do have an ordinance prepared to grant this license to enter into city-owned right-of-way. It's ordinance number 83-2019, and Mr. Richardson.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 83-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Granting a license to Yee Properties, LLC to enter a portion of the city-owned right-of-way to install and maintain a patio. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to sign the license agreement, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 83-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 83-2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 83-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 83-2019 is approved. Thank you. Thank you for your work. I look forward to seeing and enjoying that space. Moving on to agenda item 10, we have a Haroon Road traffic impact study. This is prepared and requested by the service director, Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I'm sure council is aware, one of our higher traffic areas, especially during a shift change at Flower Hospital, but also throughout the day, is Haroon Road. And we would like to conduct a study to take a look at a couple things. One being the River Trail crossing, when, you know, that's a wide road there. And when River Trail 2 was actually designed, it was initially discussed whether there would be some sort of crossing protection that would be needed there. And taking a look at proposed counts, at existing count vehicle counts at that time, as well as proposed pedestrian counts, it was not warranted. It did not meet warrants. We'd like to take a look at that again to see what may be warranted at that intersection, as well as the current situation at Flower Hospital and the Oakland Court area, both in for day-to-day traffic as well as in anticipation of the interchange improvement project in 2025. That is going to shift a lot of traffic to the alternative streets, and Haroon being one. And so we would like to be start becoming prepared for that to see if a signal may be warranted as a full-time measure or at a minimum as a part-time measure during that construction.
And that's so, a signal where?
Excuse me?
Where are you talking about that signal?
At basically the Flower Hospital.
Right at Flower Hospital.
Yeah. Or some sort of traffic control. we'd like to begin that study. We'd like to get counts. We won't, the study won't begin immediately because unfortunately River Trail Phase 2 is closed right now and won't be opened up for a couple more weeks. So we probably won't do the pedestrian counts until next spring, but we'll be able to get our vehicle counts taken care of in the meantime. So we'd like to begin moving forward with the study.
I did show pictures to Mr. Aller of three pedestrian crossings I saw in the downtown area of Worthington, Ohio a couple of weeks ago. Did you call those a hawk?
Hawk signals.
Hawk signals. They're very interesting. I don't know if you've seen them or not. They cantilever out from the side of the road, but they're right over the middle of the street. And there are three of them going through there downtown, and there's two red lights. They look, they're the same size as traffic red lights. They flash like a railroad crossing when somebody pushes the button. And then there's a third red light underneath it that turns on when they stop flashing the top two. And there's a sign next to it that says, you're permitted to go through that one red light if nobody's in the crosswalk. But it gets your attention a whole lot more than the strobe lights on the side of the road. It's pretty intrusive, but maybe I've already asked Kevin to take a look at those. That is a possibility. I'm sure there's going to be some dollars involved to put those up. But that's maybe a safer alternative than the strobe lights like we put in a few other places. Okay, we do have a ordinance 80.
Mayor.
I'm sorry, this is Hussman.
Yes, I just wanted to mention, too, that the Haroon Barn is going to be used as a venue, I understand. And so I think that we need to look at the traffic.
A venue
coming.
For what? You mean a regular daily venue?
I don't know if it would be daily. A rented space.
A rental space.
Yes,
okay.
A rental space. And if that indeed does happen, that would be some more traffic at different times. And there's one more, since I'm not going to be on council very long, I'm going to mention, I really think we need a sidewalk, and I know it involves collaboration with the township, from Brent Road to Holland-Savania Road. I see many people walking in the grass there or on the street, and it's I think it would be something we should look at as a part of that whole project. And I know it's not in exactly that same
some
space.
Of that's in the city.
Some
of that some is
of it's
in the
city. City.
But the sidewalk
yeah.
does stop at the east
at
side of Brent at
mm-hmm.
the traffic crossing light.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
mm-hmm.
right. That's we can take a look at that one as well.
I think it would be nice to look at that in
Anytime
conjunction.
Anytime we propose a sidewalk in the township, they have concerns. And that they're legal concerns. They feel that they have to go out and clean them and things like that. And
yeah. Yeah.
So we have to begin discussions on that.
Let's do that.
Okay. Thank you.
About the traffic counts, do you count like all the traffic every day 24/7 or just, I mean, is like every single car counted?
Yeah, we'll have traffic, yes, we'll have traffic counters out, probably be out there for about a week, and then we'll measure 24/7. Yes.
Okay, I was just curious, thanks.
Yeah.
It's not done manually, it's done with counters.
Yeah, we'll use a combination, we'll have the two counters that you've probably seen at times,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll also do some of it by camera.
All right, let's move on to ordinance 84-2019. Again, Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 84-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Accepting the proposal of DGL Consulting Engineers to complete a traffic impact study along the Haroon Road corridor from the Ottawa River Bridge to Brent Road, appropriating funds, therefore, in the amount of $14,000, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 84-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 84-2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 84-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 84-2019 is approved. Moving to the second page of our agenda, we're up to agenda item 11. We do have notice of a new D1 beer for premises consumption until 1 a.m. and a D2 wine and certain packaged mixed drinks for 5127 Main Street. That's that prior pizza establishment in South Briar at the south end of South Briar. The signs have gone up in the last week. Chief, any comments about these owners or any problems?
I've had a chance to review the application and do a local background check, and I don't have any objections.
All right, with that, the administration's recommendation is not to request a local hearing. Mrs. West, no, Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make a motion not to request a hearing on this liquor permit.
Been moved and seconded not to request a local hearing on this new liquor permit submittal. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. Up to agenda item 12. This has to do with the Department of Law. At the last council meeting, we gave you a job description for a new chief prosecutor and assistant law director. In the interim, the judge has offered the job and to our chief prosecutor, and she has accepted that job. So we do not have a chief prosecutor at the moment. We have, the law director has put together a program with four part-time prosecutors that are keeping up with the judge's schedule. He, by appointing her as magistrate, he knew that he was creating that problem. He did inquire if Mrs. Brining had a plan, which she put together and is, as far as I know, working fine right now. But as soon as we knew that, we put an ad in the Sunday paper a week ago for a new prosecutor, and that was run again yesterday. And what we have from you here is a proposed ordinance to create the position of prosecutor as opposed to chief prosecutor or assistant law director. The vacancy of the chief prosecutor gives the administration an opportunity to re-examine the structure of the law department and reassess what manpower we need both for prosecution and perhaps for an assistant law director. We have set the salary here in this ordinance, but I would like to review with the law director and other members of the administration the qualifications of people that we receive and see how we might be able to address the needs. We're also assessing right now whether the needs in the law department might go down here later in this meeting because the water contract, which took a great deal of law director time, appears to be headed towards resolution. The SOMO property development, which took a lot of time, has also moved on. Not that we aren't going to have other land development, but I want a chance to reassess this. For your knowledge, the history of this is up until 1997, the prosecutors were privately employed by the law director, who was an outside consultant. When Mr. Dorcas retired, Mr. Moan did not want to employ the prosecutors, and he had them become city employees. After that, one of them applied to be chief prosecutor, and the title was granted. This is our first chance to review the operation of the law department with an in-house law director and in-house prosecutors, and I need a chance to respond to this with the law director's help and other members of the administration, assess what skills can be brought in and how many people we really need, with the opportunity to hire more if it doesn't work out quite right. So that's where I'm at right now. I request your approval of Ordinance 79-2019 to establish the position of prosecutor, Department of Law Director, Division of Prosecution. Mrs. Brining, anything more?
I don't have anything more, Mr. Mayor.
I think
Mayor.
That needed to come from me. We will be back to you with recommendations. When are those resumes due?
This Friday.
This Friday.
Mr. Mayor, you talked about the qualifications of the individuals, and obviously we don't know everyone who's going to submit their resume or application. One of the things that I asked Mrs. Brining earlier was a specific number at $75,000. But with your comment there, are you looking for additional flexibility, or are you okay setting this at 75?
No, I'm fine with the $75,000.
What were we paying our chief prosecutor?
82. And obviously we need to move along and get somebody full-time back on the job. But we'll be back to you with our recommendations. So I would request approval of ordinance 79, 2019. Mr. Lukey.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 79, 2019. Copies have been made available previously to members of council, therefore I will read by title only. Revising the administrative, departmental, and divisional organization of the city and the codified ordinance as ordinances thereof by amending Sylvania Codified Ordinance Chapter 131, Department of Law, amending Sylvania Codified Ordinance Section 139.03E3 to set the salary of the prosecutor at $75,000 annually, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 79, 2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of ordinance number 79, 2019.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 79, 2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 79, 2019 is approved. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 13, this is committee reports. First one, 13A, is a report of the Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting held on September 25th. Mr. Lukey.
Right, Mr. Mayor. The committee met on September 25th, 2019 for one purpose only, and that is to determine the process and dates to select an appointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals position that becomes vacant on January 1, 2020. As you may remember, we have had a process over the last 2 years where if the individual who holds that seat has been there for more than two terms, we open a public process to solicit other interest in individuals who might want to be considered for appointment. And so we indeed put that schedule together. I will tell you that the existing incumbent in that seat, Mr. Ladd, has expressed interest in being reappointed, and I made him aware of this process, and he's willing to comply with the process as we move forward. So I need to ask the clerk to note the following steps. First of all, as soon as possible, we'd like to post on the city website, the Facebook page, the electronic sign at Monroe and Main, and possibly issue a release to the Advantage newspaper that this seat is up for appointment. And that interested citizens are able to apply, invited to apply, with a deadline of 12 p.m. on November 1st, 2019. So that gives us 3 weeks to notice and get any input. I'd also like to schedule a committee meeting for 7 p.m. on November 4th for the committee to review all of the interested applicants. So, Sharon, if we could, if council agrees, 7 p.m. on that day.
November 4th, you're
November
saying?
November 4th, we have a council meeting that night. And then the intention of the committee would be at the meeting on the 4th, depending on the number of individuals who have expressed interest, to decide how much time we need prior to the meeting, the next meeting in December, which I believe is the 18th, with the idea of having a special meeting of the committee sometime the week of November 5th for interviews. So that is as clean a process as we can make it. The one thing that Mr. Richardson suggested, and I think it's a good idea, is that we have had a number of individuals who have applied not only for the BZA over the last couple of years, but some other city boards and commissions that council appoints to. And I think it would be helpful if we could notify them by letter. Hopefully, Sharon, you have the lists of those individuals. If not, I do. And invite them to submit for this seat as well, the ones that did not get selected. I can help you think that through.
When did you want to do that meeting?
Which one?
The BZA screen?
The screenings would be the week of November 5th.
Seven.
The meeting on November 4th at 7 is simply for the committee to assess.
That's 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Okay.
We wouldn't want you to get up for this at 7 a.m.
Mr. Lukey, we do have a conflict on at that time and date.
Do we?
I'm not sure that what I should, announced, Mr. Sanford, but there was a recognition ceremony being planned, and it's already been put in people's date book for 7 o'clock that evening.
Within the city or?
Right, in this room.
Okay.
By, in front of city council.
Okay.
It's not for me to announce.
No, that's fine. I wasn't aware of that.
Could we move it to 6:30?
Move our thing to 6:30.
If you can move yours, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
Because we've already set the time with these other folks.
Is that okay, Patrick?
Are you okay with that, Mr. Sanford?
Sandy?
I'll be sharing more information on the board program at 7 o'clock to council.
You okay with that? Yeah, okay. 6:30, then, would be great. Thank you for making us aware of that. So that's the process. Our goal is to have somebody's, a name in front of council in December, so we could have that position filled before the end of the year.
Very good. You're clear on that, Mrs. Booker?
We'll commiserate tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to 13B, Report of Utilities Committee Meeting held on September 30th. What was that meeting about, Mrs. Westfall?
The water contract. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We did have a Utilities and Environment Committee meeting on September 30th, 2019 at 5 o'clock right here in Council Chambers, and our focus was the water contract. Members of the Utility Committee were present, myself, Mary Westfall, Mark Fry, Sandy Hussman, and Patrick Richardson, as well as all other members of Council, Doug Hanum, Mark Lukey, and Katie Cappellini. Also from administration, Mayor Stow, Mr. Aller, and Mrs. Brining were present. We opened the meeting by taking a look at the memo prepared by the law director, Mrs. Brining, as well as the director of public safety, Mr. Aller, where they really highlighted a summary of the uniform water purchase and supply agreement to allow for us to have a comprehensive understanding of what the key elements were. And from that, after we went through that process, we had some discussion among council members, and generally it was agreed that the proposed agreement offers the best assurance of safe water and that there is a plan that is forthcoming for redundancy. It assures fair pricing, and it offers a template for regional cooperation. At this point, council members felt that, in general, it appears that the Uniform Water Purchase and Supply Agreement from the City of Toledo appears to be the best option as compared to some of the other things that we had looked at, the Machindo Aquifer cooperation with the City of Monroe or the Great Lakes Water Authority or some sort of a separate Sylvania system. Council members did want to wait until after the community input meeting that was to take place at 6 p.m. before we had any final decisions. But all in all, everyone was in agreement, and after that particular meeting, we did not hear of anything that was of concern to the general community. The Utilities and Environment Committee meeting did adjourn at 5:50, and then we went into our next meeting. And I believe we've got legislation this evening. Mr. Mayor, I don't know if you've got any additional comments that you might like to add.
Council members did have in their council packets ordinance number 85-2019. This is to authorize the mayor and director of finance to enter into a uniform water purchase and supply agreement with the City of Toledo. This is a very long-term issue. This administration's been working on it since 1996. We've been down many roads, and I was very pleased in August when the City of Toledo came forth with some final agreement on some issues, particularly pegging that the cost of wholesale water must be less than the cost of retail water. With that, as you recall, we brought together all the mayors and directors from the outlying communities who voiced support for this contract, and that is still my recommendation. This is a contract that I believe is our best alternative. It's a way to provide a safe water supply with redundancy requirements built into the contract. It is fair pricing. Thanks to Mr. Aller's work and those of other members of the committee, including the Lucas County Sanitary Engineer, a list of items that can be included in the price of water has been established and is an attachment to the contract. But beyond that, this sets a a way for this region to use water for economic development. It takes it off of the political table, and it makes it an asset that all of the communities can use as a region to attract new jobs and new industries. And it also allows for regional cooperation on other issues. This has been made possible by Toledo Mayor Capsicavage's willingness to sit down and to really find middle ground, which is what this contract represents. It's not everything that each side would like to have, but it is the best middle ground, I think, that we can find. And I wholeheartedly endorse your approval of this contract. And with that,
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hanum.
Yeah, can you, who has signed on to this? I know Lucas County has signed on to it.
Lucas County has signed on to it. White House, also Lucas County, Monroe County, City of Maumee passed it a couple of weeks ago. Fulton County did it last week, and White House did it on October the 1st. The ones that are not yet signed up are Perrysburg. Their meetings are the first and third Tuesday nights of each month, so they're meeting a week from tomorrow night to vote on it, but the recommendation has been that they'll be going with it. The only one I'm really unsure of is the Northwest Water and Sewer District. They have a more complicated situation. I assume that they'll be signing on with this, but this is not their only water supply contract. They buy water from several different places for different parts of their district.
That's the mission. Oh, okay.
So but almost
Monroe has signed on, right?
Yes,
the South
they
County
have.
Water System.
They have.
I was just looking at the numbers. Okay.
And remember that all of them are wholesale customers with the exception of Lucas County. Lucas County is in effect an extension of the Toledo system that Toledo does maintenance on and does the metering up as well. And we have Ordinance 85-2019. Before you push back, this authorizes the Director of Finance and I to sign the contract. This is not the contract. I don't know whether we have that contract in hand yet.
We do not. I believe the Toledo Law Director indicated there may be a public signing for when you call the mayor.
Once they know who's signing them, we'll prepare the final paperwork. We will review it, hopefully agree with it, and then we will sign it either here or we'll go down to a general signing ceremony. I want to publicly thank Mr. Aller for all the work he's put in on this, as well as Mrs. Brining. This has been a very time-consuming effort, but there aren't many things we're going to act on that are going to govern us for 40 years that can improve the region. This is a major step forward for the region, and I'm very pleased that it's come to this. All right, with Ordinance 85-2019, Mr. Fry.
Mr. Mayor, as you know, with my business relationships with the various communities, I would request to push back from the table.
I need that. I think that needs to be in a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like council to allow Mr. Fryer to push back from this vote because of potential conflict of interest.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Let the record show that Mr. Fryer pushed back from the table and will not be participating in the passage of this ordinance. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I read the ordinance, I would like to extend our personal thanks to you, Mr. Mayor, for all of your hard work. It has been many years of serious dedication, unlimited hours. I mean, I can't even imagine how many hours. And we're very grateful for the leadership you've shown to our region and the continued focus and passion you've brought to this cause. I also would like to thank my fellow council members for their personal dedication. This has been a long and arduous process. I believe we're ending in a very positive place. I'm thrilled to see that we have really explored many options, and I'm grateful for the leadership that came from the entire administrative team as well. With that, I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 85-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into a uniform water purchase and supply agreement on behalf of the City of Sylvania, Ohio, with the City of Toledo for a period of 40 years, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 85-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 85-2019.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 85-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 85-2019 is approved. Thank you all. All right. I'm just savoring the moment for a moment, but we need to move on. We'll move on to agenda item 13C. Let the Mrs. Booker, the clerk, to show that Mr. Fry has rejoined the table. We're up to agenda item 13C, a report of the Parks and Forestry Committee of the meeting held this evening. Mrs. Cappellini.
Hi, yes. The Parks and Forestry Committee meeting started at 7 o'clock this evening. In attendance were all of council, as well as the mayor, Leslie Brining, Kevin Aller, Bill Sanford. Also in attendance were Erica Burry. She is the director of the Olander Park System, but she was here because she was recently elected the chair of the Green Ribbon Initiative. Also here were the folks from Toledo Memorial Park, as they are actually the largest green space in Sylvania. Erica introduced Nick and also gave us a rundown as her duties as a GRA chairperson, as well as characteristics of the oak openings. She noted that it's a globally rare plants that are here. She also let us know all of the other GRI partners that were under this umbrella of the Green Ribbon Initiative. From there, she introduced Nick. Nick Mandros is the Ohio Environmental Council Regional Director. He gave us a presentation on not only the health benefits, the quality of life, water quality, that go along with natural areas in an urban environment, but also economic benefits, some of them being less cost to maintain, and then also the draw for potential residents to move here and to stay. He also noted that we are in the bird migration pattern, and I mean, really, we just need a little bit of work to make Haroon Park more habitable for native birds and plants. From there, he introduced Ashley Decker. She is our representative from the Nature Conservancy. She gave us a really quick overview of their interagency restoration team and how they can help us very briefly, and possible grants that are available. She also mentioned that Ottawa Hills have joined the effort, and that we are under a nine-element plan that also makes it more, it'll be easier for us to get grants because we've already been recognized in this MAMI area of concern in our watershed, and that was even a shorter version of what she said. So from there, to expand and to dig a little deeper into what we could do at Haroon Park and how they could help us, I'd like to schedule another Parks and Forestry Committee meeting. And I was hoping for before our next council meeting, which is the 21st, and I know we have a public hearing, so I was kind of hoping for 6 o'clock for a Parks and Forestry Committee meeting.
On the 21st?
On the 21st.
Yes, just to confirm, we still have a public hearing set on the Shalom of the Pie at 7 o'clock.
Tea House, right.
Yep.
That's at 7.
That's
it's
at 7, yes.
We do not have a committee of the whole on the logo. I think I entered that wrong, right? We don't have that any longer on that day.
That was today.
Yeah, I think I just entered it wrong on my calendar.
No committee of the holes are scheduled for that evening.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So you're proposing 6 o'clock on the 21st.
Right. And then our meeting, actually I should have said that before, our meeting adjourned at 7:35.
Okay. How about your committee members, are they available at that time?
I think I got a nod from everyone.
6 o'clock, here in chambers.
Doug, Sandy, and Patrick, yep.
All right. We'll have the clerk post that date. Thank you. Moving on to added agenda item 13D, report of the Committee of the Whole held this evening. Mrs. Westbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We did have a Committee of the Whole meeting tonight, October 7th, 2019 at 6:30 p.m., and the topic was city logo. All members of council were present, as well as from administration. We had Mayor Stow, Mrs. Brining, Mr. Aller, and Mr. Sanford. Joining us was Danny Fuller from Fuller Art House, who has done the work in preparation and recommendation for the logo. Danny reviewed the Pantone colors, and she showed two contrasting greens as a recommendation. Council members supported the recommendation. She then presented flag designs, and council had some discussion around those designs, but agreed to a flag that would have a dark green color on top with the logo reversed out in white and no words saying City of Trees, and the light green on the bottom with Sylvania, Ohio reversed out in white and no comma. So their next steps were that Danny is going to prepare the usage guidelines for the logo, and then the logo will be organically incorporated into all areas of our community, beginning with stationery, business cards, websites, signs. Danny will also incorporate an explanation of the logo and its thought process into the 2020 community calendar. And there was a suggestion that perhaps the mayor might write one of his president's messages about the logo.
Maybe a mayor's message.
Or president.
That's you.
I'm teasing, mayor, of course. Then I would, Katie Capellini moved that we accept the logo color and designs as presented, and that we request administration to prepare legislation. Patrick Richardson seconded that motion, and the motion did pass. Doug moved to adjourn the meeting, Sandy seconded, and the meeting adjourned at 6:50. So with that, I'd like to make a motion that we ask administration to prepare legislation for the city logo.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to prepare legislation to accept the logo and flag designs. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we'll have that legislation for you in 2 weeks. Anything further, Mrs. Westfall?
That's it.
Okay, moving on to added agenda item 13E, set a safety committee meeting to discuss 9/11 dispatch consolidation. Mr. Fry.
Well, many of you had the opportunity to go through the 911 tour, and obviously you've seen continued conversation in the press regarding the potential 911 consolidation. And I guess I would look to Mr. Aller to I've seen notification that they're that the county is shooting for November.
Correct.
Is that doable in your opinion? Based on where we're at with contracts and those kinds of things?
Based on where we're at with contracts and things, I think November is doable to get the process started, yes. But for the agreement to be in place, the communities and the group of municipalities and the group of townships still need to make their votes for their representatives. Mm-hmm. However, if the commissioners were to proceed in calling a meeting of the board, they would have three of the five members present and would be able to take action on the consolidation. So I think November is doable from the standpoint of having a vote on the matter.
The reason I ask Mr. Aller the question, obviously, is first, think it would be advisable, because as you all know, we're not voting on the actual consolidation, we're voting on selecting an individual to represent the municipalities on this potential vote, correct, Mr. Aller? But there's also some community input that I think would be advisable. I know some of the other communities have had some meetings in that regard. A lot of stuff has already been scheduled out this far.
How long do you think it'll take?
Well, if it's just the 911 consolidation conversation amongst us members of council, not very long. If we're looking for community input, could be a while. I maybe 10 minutes, maybe an hour and 10 minutes. I don't have a sense of that. And Mayor, do you have any feel for something like that in regards to your experience?
I think the discussion at the township meeting was more like the hour and 10 minutes or more. I don't know whether those same people have come, but I know that there are two former chief communicators from the city that have an opinion they'd like to share with you. I don't know how many residents might show up. And I think you have to make the decision, are you going to limit the conversation to residents only, or are you going to listen to outside contributors?
If it's a meeting of the safety committee, then the answer would be just members of the community, with maybe a few hand-selected individuals who have, I know that there's been some other mayors who have strong opinions, but I would look to other members of the committee for a thought process. So it doesn't look to me like we're going to be able to do that on any one of the council meeting nights.
When do you want to get this done?
I was thinking the first week of November, given what I'm saying, Mr. Aller, would be helpful. Obviously, I don't want to do it on election night for obvious reasons. What does Wednesday the 6th look like?
Before we go forward,
yeah, sure.
Mr. Mayor, do we know what we have to do is vote among the nine communities for a representative, right?
That's correct.
And the representatives are who?
The way it was left more than a month ago was that if you are in favor of 911 dispatch consolidation, you vote for Mayor Atkinson of White House. And if you are against it, you would vote for Mayor Carr of Maumee.
So the vote that we will actually take is to direct you to cast a vote for us?
No, that is you appointing your representative to the 9/11 committee. You are taking the vote.
So we
you've appointed me, the other community, the other cities have appointed me in the past.
Right.
But no, those two, we've designated those two gentlemen who are very strong on their sides, and Maumee and Oregon have already gone against the consolidation. White House
but
has gone for it.
What they've actually done is designated Mayor Carr as their spokesperson.
That's correct.
So what we will act on in council is to designate either Mayor Atkinson or Mayor Carr.
Correct.
As the representative for the nine smaller municipalities.
Right, and whoever gets five or more votes will represent us at that meeting with the county 911 committee. Chief or Kevin, are you aware of any other communities have taken the votes yet? I think.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
So our vote will essentially be a vote for one of those two representatives.
I believe so. It'll be a vote to appoint him as your representative.
Okay. All
right. Mr. Mayor, a question. Maybe for Mr. Fry, do you envision at your committee meeting an opportunity to talk about some of the local community impact issues that would come out of a vote like this, right? Because I understand that there's an up or down vote about how we want to proceed. Can I finish, please? That seems to me that there are some issues, which I think are safety issues and some community concern issues about how this community intends to respond to what the 911 commission is going to do, which is basically, if I can believe what I read in the paper, bring you know, some number of dispatchers to downtown Toledo and not really worry about what's going to happen to our local communities. I have a great belief that the quality of life in Sylvania is somewhat tied to the feeling that our citizens feel safe. And this has something to do with not necessarily the 911 calls, but the calls that come in on the non-emergency line from neighbors, the visits that we have on nights and weekends from victims of various crimes, violence, domestic violence, for example, to file a police report. And I guess I'd like to have at least some conversation about what the city, and maybe the township, but my concern is the city, intends to do with those services. So is that fair game for discussion at our hearing, or do we have to schedule something different for that?
Mayor, you
if I may, the administration has been preparing a document for you, a white paper from the City of Sylvania perspective as to what each of the three possibilities mean to the city. Those three possibilities, two of them are official. One, we don't consolidate, or we do consolidate. Mayor Carr is looking for a separate solution where there are three PSAPs and would like to have Sylvania and Sylvania Township and perhaps Springfield Township make one PSAP, Maumee, Waterville, White House be another PSAP, and then Lucas County, Toledo, and Oregon are another one. I've had Chief Snorr and Mr. Aller think about that. We've developed a white paper that we'll show you that does include the issues about the non-emergency calls. And we have discussed in staff that we can't go dark here. We can't have a sign on the door that says come back at 8 in the morning.
Right.
We are looking at the expense of maintaining some of our dispatchers, not as dispatchers, but as record takers or maybe I'm misstating that, Chief, but we're going to have people here
24/7
to take those non-emergency calls. Chief just made a face that said, no, Mayor, that's not what I said. No.
Well, under the when the white paper comes out next week, and in the near future, it's complete.
There have been a number of drafts
right,
of it.
Right, the details have been nailed down as complete, but the decision we'll have to make is what kind of coverage we want to have here in our building and our community as far as resources for records and that sort of thing, and people that answer the window for walk-ins, and you know, all the things that we're used to having here in the county. However, for the system to work properly, when someone calls for police services, it has to go to the same answering point. So whether it's a 10-digit call, that's what they refer to in the county report, or a 911 emergency call, it has to go to one central answering point, and then they'll determine if it's an emergency and what type of services are needed. So if someone calls the police department, it will be more for administration or the detective bureau or the records and support office. It'll be more of an administrative function here locally, and any police services, non-emergency or emergency, would be answered at a central location in Lucas County under this plan.
So through 911
or a 10-digit call.
Yeah, and you know, some of us who took the tour saw the non-emergency calls stacking up on their little scoreboard down there to the point where there were waits of 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 minutes. And that we need to talk about, Mayor.
And Mr. Lupke, to answer your question, I agree we need to deal with the issue to make sure that Sylvania remains Sylvania to the best extent we can possibly do that. And I'm interested to see the information coming from the administrative staff on ideas in regards to that, but I would fully intend to deal with that as best we can, not knowing what we don't know, right? Because there's still a possibility, even though we think it's going to go through, it may or may not. But assuming that it does, how are we going to react as the city?
And
it does not become a reality until January of 2021. So we've got time to respond, but we need to set the tone.
Well, we do. And you know, this is, obviously not only a safety issue, it's a budget issue, right? And so it's a little more complicated than just saying we want to keep our people.
That's why we're not going to save the $500 million that the council says.
It's extremely gratifying and reassuring to know that the administration's thinking about that and that we can look forward to those white papers.
Many of you have heard me say, there's two components to this. The first one is the 911 consolidation question. The second is the quality of life on the other things that we need to grapple with. So I'm on board with your thought process and how do we handle that to keep Sylvania Sylvania.
It's also important to remember that we will have a year of lead time to adjust for this. And, I think it's entirely appropriate that we investigate this. I thought our visit down to the county city 911 center was beneficial. It opened my eyes. They are a very professional outfit. They are well trained in what they do. I am confident that that if we go forward with 911 consolidation, that we will have a good 911 system. These other issues, and it appears that that's what's going to happen. I mean, we've got the three major players who have publicly declared they're going to support it. So the fallout that we have to deal with is something that we have time to further investigate. And it's not that we haven't thought about it. We are thinking about it. That doesn't mean that we have a prescribed plan to address it, and I don't think that's a problem either. I am confident that we'll come up with a good plan in conjunction with the hard work of the administration and with our police force, that we'll have answers to these questions.
Well, okay, I'm prepared to appreciate the fact that you say we have a plan, but I'd like to see the plan.
No, we don't have a plan. I said we do not have a plan.
All I'm trying to do is schedule a meeting.
But I don't think that addressing this plan should be part of your meeting. I think the meeting that we ought to be planning right now is the action that we have to take in November, which is, are we going to cast our vote with Mayor Carr or Mayor Atkinson, understanding that that vote is in all likelihood just a formality because this is going down. As far as these other issues, I think we do need to address them, but not in your safety committee meeting that we're having in the near term, because we don't have a proposal, we don't have the white paper. We're not prepared to have that public meeting, and I don't think we will be prepared to have that public meeting on the same schedule that we're going to be called upon to vote on 911.
So with that being said, I was looking at the 6th of November, which is a Wednesday.
What time?
6:30.
PM.
Yep.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yep.
Katie, you're looking consternated.
Didn't we just reschedule something at 6:30? The BZA?
Where is this on November 6th?
This is on Wednesday.
On the 6th.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is something? 6 p.m. on Wednesday, November the 6th.
6:30 on the 6th of November.
All right, we will have the clerk post that meeting. This is a safety committee meeting, not a public hearing, not a public meeting.
Correct.
But it will be a public meeting as a safety committee meeting. You may have guests.
I'm
thinking. We're going to hold it in chambers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the conference room will get awful crowded.
Maybe.
Are we in agreement on that agenda that we're going to focus on the 911?
No, I don't think it's up to the chairman, but I would be
right.
willing to, from the floor, raise the issue if it's not on the agenda.
I suspect the public will have an impact, influence on whether or not it's going to be on the agenda. That's, yeah, that's one of the things that will certainly be discussed. It's a safety committee meeting. You know, whatever we decide we want to discuss, beyond that is a member of safety committee.
Okay.
All right. I think that meeting's been set. Is there any other committee business to take place at this time? Any committee referrals to be made at this time? Agenda item 15. We have ordinance 86-2019 that was handed out this evening. This is to purchase property at 6511 Monroe Street, commonly known as the Tire Store. This has been discussed at previous meetings. We were holding off on this for confirmation from the state of Ohio about a remediation grant. Mr. Sanford, can you report on the remediation grant?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we confirmed after our last meeting that the city purchasing the property did not endanger us having the grant. There was a question on that. I think last time I spoke in front of council, they said it would be fine for that, and we can move forward with the continued remediation at the site.
Okay.
So it would be our recommendation to move forward on this legislation.
Okay, you can see on the legislation the price has been set at $346,725. We've talked about where that came out in the past. The administration recommends approval of ordinance 86-2019 for the purchase of the property at 6511 Monroe Street. Mrs. Hussman.
I would be happy to do this, Mr. Mayor. I have a question first,
certainly,
though. Where it says $40,000, what am I missing there? Oh, the assignment. I see. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 86-2019. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would like to read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an assignment of purchase agreement for the property located at 6511 Monroe Street, Sylvania, Lucas County, Ohio, 43650, for the amount of $40,000, providing the funds for said assignment of purchase agreement, authorizing the payment of the purchase price in the amount of $346,725, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Off second, we have an incorrect zip code.
That's what I was...
Right, you were right to hesitate.
I did hesitate. 43560. Thank you.
Sorry, you're...
Did you second?
I did second. I did second. No, Mary seconded.
I move final passage of ordinance number 86. Oops. Didn't we have... Oh, we didn't have the vote.
I believe the motion is that ordinance number 86-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived as amended to correct the zip code.
The zip code.
All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Okay. I move final passage of ordinance number 86-2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 86-2019. As an emergency measure, again with the zip code corrected. All in favor of final passage indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 86-2019 as corrected is approved. All right, moving on to agenda item 16, a brief fall festival sister city update.
30 seconds, Mr. Mayor. The fall festival and parade is Sunday, October 20th. I think you all know that. This has been a traditional time for our sister city commission to engage in some of the programming, including hosting a delegation from Woodstock, our sister city. Part of that will involve dinner with the Woodstock delegation on the previous evening, Saturday, October 19th, at 6 o'clock at Shorty's. All members of council and your guests are invited to attend. Members of administration are invited to attend, along with the members of Sister City Commission. So please feel free to drop by.
Right. We hope all of you can attend, and I can tell you that the Chamber of Commerce has done a wonderful job growing the Fall Festival into the event that it's going to be this year.
You know, I will tell you, it's been so successful that our Sister City Commission has a new location for our booth. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We will be on Main Street north of Maplewood in front of the duplexes that
yep.
the city owns, a expanded and highly energized presence for the Sister of City
yes.
Commission.
Looking forward
we're
to
it. We're not quite sure who's coming day. Down yet from Woodstock, but we're tracking that in real time.
All right. Thank you. That brings us to the end of our agenda. I do bring your attention to agenda item A, which is the report from the Division of Taxation. The percentage has gone down a little bit, but the dollar amount is up a little bit. So it continues to grow 7.545%. And agenda item C, Mrs. Capolitti wanted to talk a moment about the master plan executive summary.
So quickly, this is the result of the community survey that Sajar did last year. There was a statistically valid survey that was sent to 2,000 people. And they got a really good percentage return, plus people responded online. And this is a summary of what everybody said. If you want to see the full report, it's on the Sajar website. At this point, the Sajar board is working on next steps, meaning a time frame and what we're actually going to take out of this plan and move forward with.
Thank you. That brings us to the end of our meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next meeting on Monday, October 21st at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. That was a long agenda, lots of items.